I asked you to grab your Bibles, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, a familiar section of Scripture. I want to share a message with you this morning in the time that we have remaining called The Redemptive Nature of God. The Redemptive Nature of God. Would you stand with me one more time this morning as we read the Word of the Lord together? In its familiarity, if it is familiar to you, I would like you to make a point and purpose today, not to say it by memory, although you may know it, but to read every single word, whether it's on the screen, on your device, or in your Bible. I want you to read every single word as I read this morning, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for the redemptive nature of God. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the people of God that has set their mind not just to come to church and be at church, but to be the church and to learn what that means by knowing what the Word of God says. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that You would speak to us today, that the anointing that is in this house would minister to us today. As You speak to us, I pray that our ears would hear what You are saying, that we would not be deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we hear that voice, would You give us minds to comprehend it, to understand it, so that we can apply it to our life. As we hear it, as we understand it, we invite that word to settle into the deepest part of who we are, to the deepest depths of our soul. And our prayer is that that word would find good soil in which to grow, and that word would produce life in our lives, and that it would also produce life in the lives of the world around us. And finally, today, as we purpose to hear, I pray that You would give us the courage to do what You're asking us to do and to be who You're asking us to be. Thank You, God, that You are offering that to us today. And we say we receive that from You this morning in Jesus' name. If you can agree with some of that, will you say amen with me today? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. The redemptive nature of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one more time, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." I want to share a message with you today that is very reflective in nature. This week, I was able to participate in a few different things, two of which I want to mention specifically. One of those being Focus Forward Conference that Sharina was just talking about. I want to share some reflections with you and then tie this thing all together as we contemplate and reflect on the redemptive nature of God in terms of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Thursday, story time. Ready? Last Thursday, a team from Landmark, 13 of us, on Thursday afternoon, settled into the Union Hall down in Phillida. And Nate and Jasmine met us there. And our goal there was to prepare macaroni and cheese for 300 people. So Stacy and I that morning had gone out and we had shopped and we had bought all the supplies. And Stacy did her best to follow the recipe. If you know Stacy at all, you know that's a real challenge. We had to plead the blood of Jesus over that for a little bit. Stacy is an amazing cook. The problem is she never remembers what she does, and she wings it every time. And so, but anyway, we followed the recipe, and we bought all the stuff, and we met the team down at the Union Hall, and we began to prepare this food. And the problem for me was that on Wednesday, I went elk hunting. And some of you may not like that, Vicky, but that's okay. Because I went elk hunting on Wednesday. And I saw some elk that morning and didn't kill anything. Thanks a lot, Vicky. She's been praying against me for the last 2 weeks. And so I was able to hunt all day Wednesday. Had an amazing time. Thursday rolls around, which would be fine. Other than Thursday was the last day of elk season. Stacy and I had a minor miscommunication about how elk season, the last day, was going to go down on Thursday. Stacy was right and I was wrong, and I went to Night Strike. I didn't elk hunt on Thursday, and thus shows the health of my marriage. I see wives looking at husbands and husbands going, I relate, I've been there, I've lived in that tension. So I came into Thursday with a really bad attitude. Shopping for that stuff, I was just like, bad at it. I wanted to be elk hunting. I did. And that was what I thought the plan was. And then I was going to meet the team later and blah, 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 blah. All the gory details, right? And so I'm having this little pity party on myself all day long on Thursday. We get to the Union Hall and it's tough to engage. It's tough to be excited about what's going on because my mind was just somewhere else. And I said that to Stacy, and we talked through it, and we wrestled through that tension together. And long story short is we prepared all of the food. We got down to the Burnside Bridge. It's under the Burnside Bridge. Under the Burnside Bridge, and our role, our zone for that we were manning that night was to serve the people that food. I was privileged to serve right next to Jasmine and my daughter Abby. And we began to prepare, and one by one, the people began to come through the line. And I'm incredibly stupid and selfish. And you know what? So are you. We all have those tendencies. And I began to see these people come through the line. And I would scoop out a scoop of macaroni and cheese and place it in a bowl and hand it to a man or a woman or a child. And they would say, thank you, and I would say, you're welcome. And one by one, the Lord was just fixing some stuff in me. Because as each person came through that line, I realized, and you realize it before, but you really realize it when you're in the moment, that such a simple gesture as giving somebody a bowl of macaroni and cheese is exactly what Jesus asked us to do. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'd like to think that I preach well. I'd like to think that I pastor better. Sometimes I forget what it is to actually do what Jesus said, and that is to give a cup of cold water in his name, or to give a bowl of food in his name. Because I didn't have to preach in that moment. All I had to do was love. And it didn't matter why that person was there. It didn't matter if it was their fault. It didn't matter if it was somebody else's fault. What mattered in that moment is that every person that came through that line was a person with a story, was a person with a family that knew they were there or a family that didn't know that they were there. I learned a statistic that night that a woman living on the streets has about 48 hours before in some way, shape, or form she's sexually assaulted or abused. And as I saw the women come through that line, my heart broke. And I realized that in that moment, in those few short seconds of interaction, a man was giving her something she didn't have to do anything in return for. There's moments in our life when we realize that stories matter. My stories matter. Your stories matter. every single person that we fed at Night Strike, their story matters. And the beautiful thing about stories is that it extends from the Burnside Bridge to Centralia College, where we heard the testimony of five ladies who, coming out of prison, have been freed from addiction, have been freed from bondages that many of us can only imagine but can't really fathom. Women who have been given a second lease on life, women given opportunity to be reconnected to their families, to begin families, to start relationships in a healthy, God-centered environment. We understand in that moment that their story also matters. In a completely different environment, their story matters. And then I realized this beautiful thing as I was thinking about this message this morning and what I wanted to share with you. And I realized again the beauty of all of these stories coming in to the perfect, beautiful story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation, God has written this beautiful story. He has authored this story, and every single human being has a place in His story. Every single human being, no matter where they have come from, no matter what they have been through, no matter how good or how bad, how small or how big, how influential or non-influential they may seem to be, God has looked upon them before they were even born in their womb and said, "You, child, have a place in my story." In terms of the vine and being grafted in and adopted into His family, before they were even born, God created a space in that vine. He cut away the part of the vine and prepared them to be grafted into that place of the story. He prepared a father's heart. He prepared a wayward child's heart at some point to say, like the prodigal said, even the servants are treated better than I am, and allowed the prodigal heart to come and to be placed inside this thing called the family of God. Every person has been created to fit into the kingdom of God. Their story matters. Our story matters. It's in times like this when we need to remember that every single person has these difficult moments woven in and out of their life. The phrase is that, as they say, that these moments are woven into the fabric of life. So how does this relate to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? I'd like to break it down like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Your story matters. And the very first line of this psalm says, trust in the Lord. I want to see a response today. How many of you would say, trust is hard? How many of you have been, your life has been disrupted a little bit because a trust has been broken? Trust is hard. Trust is hard. Why? Well, because trust asks for vulnerability. If we're going to trust, trust asks for vulnerability. Trust asks for confidence in the one that you're putting your trust in. Trust asks for faith. Faith to be implemented that the one you're putting your trust in will not fail you. Trust asks for shared control. I'm a control guy. Anybody want to relate and raise their hands? I like to control things because I feel the tendency is to feel that if I can control it, I can determine the outcome. That makes perfect logical sense. Come on, somebody. How many of us know that the Christian faith, our walk with Jesus, involves us saying, God, I'm going to share control with you. I'm going to give up some things because I know your ways are better than mine. I know your thoughts are higher than mine. I know your plans are more perfect than mine. And sometimes I just need to shut up, sit down, buckle my seat, and enjoy the ride that God wants to take me on. Trust requires shared control. But it's for all of those reasons that trust is hard. And yet the scripture says, I understand all that, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Nothing is off limits to God when we put our trust in Him. And we know, and we could share, and we could testify this morning if I asked you to, about the amazing things God has done in our life when we trust Him. Let's break this down a little bit more. The next line says, lean not on your own understanding. We trust in God and then we lean not on our own understanding. Let me tackle a common interpretation of this verse. Sometimes our interpretation of lean not on your own understanding is simply, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, baby. You know, I'm just going to step outside. Jesus, take the wheel. You do the driving. I'm just going to sit back, legs up, crossed, hanging out the window. And it's going to be peachy clean all the way out. God's going to take care of all the details and all of that kind of stuff. Why? Because I'm leaning not on my own understanding. Pause, 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 stop. That is not the way we are to take and interpret this scripture. Lean not on your own understanding. God never intended to remove us from the decision-making process. God never intended to remove us from the decision-making process. He never intended to make us feel inadequate or ill-equipped to make decisions, big or small. He did, however, intend to make us aware of the fact that our understanding is limited. Our understanding is finite. He's not telling us to quit on our own understanding. He's not telling us to dismiss our own understanding. He's inviting us to trust Him. He's inviting us to trust Him and to recognize the limits of us and the limitless nature of Him. Lean not on your own understanding. In addition to leaning into God, in addition to leaning into His plan, leaning into His understanding, God also expects us to use the wisdom that we ask for. Isn't this crazy? We have a challenge, we have a situation. God, give me wisdom. James says it. James chapter 1 says it. Don't ask for Eddie paraphrase. Don't ask for wisdom unless you plan on implementing the wisdom that God gives. How many of you have been in the frustrating situation where somebody has come to you for advice and they say, I really want your advice, I really want your perspective on this, and you give them your advice, you give them their perspective, you give them your experience, and what they say, man, that sounds like a great plan, that's perfect, I'm excited to implement this into my life, only to cross the threshold of your home to go to their car and post something on Facebook that is completely different and contrary to the advice that you just gave them. Part of the advice you gave them was don't post anything on Facebook. We've all been in those frustrating situations where the tools were given and yet they were just left in the belt and they weren't used and the outcome was not as good as it could be or intended because it was just a failure to use how you were being equipped. James says, don't ask for wisdom unless you're going to implement wisdom, because when you do that, you're like a wave just tossed back and forth, here and there at every whim of gravity and the moon and all of that science stuff. And yet God says, in every situation in life, you come to me and you ask for my direction and my wisdom, and I will be faithful to you to give it to you because you can trust me. More difficult to see in some seasons than others, for sure. But the fact of the matter is, when we ask for wisdom, God gives it. He gives it with the expectation that we're going to use it. Lean not on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I had kind of a new revelation on this part of this scripture this last week. And I just want to break it down to you simply this way. I'm not going to expand a whole lot on this part of the scripture. I'm just going to read what I wrote as I felt the Lord was leading me to do that. And I feel that as I do that, God is going to bring a personal connection to you also in terms of this verse. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How can we apply this to our life? How can we break this down and make this a part of who we are? In Proverbs, the author is telling us to acknowledge God in every single area of our life. And not simply to make a statement that God is aware of every area of our life. But to acknowledge means to invite him into every area of our life. God, let me give you a couple examples. God, this bill takes money to pay. How many of you know that bills require money to pay? As handsome as your firstborn child is, he's not going to pay your mortgage. Bummer. God, I know this bill takes money to pay. And I know you care about my money and you care about my bills. I know my money is a blessing from you. You have just acknowledged God in every area of your life, specifically to the area of your finances. God, this relationship is important to me, and you care about my relationships. And we acknowledge, God, I know that my relationships are a blessing from you, and I need wisdom to walk through this challenge in my relationship. I need wisdom to recognize the blessing of this relationship. Let's go one more. God, you see my anxiety and how, and you know my anxious thoughts. The Word of God says that. You know my anxious thoughts are important to you. God, you see my emotional turmoil. But when we acknowledge God in every area of our life, we also have to say this. You see my emotional turmoil, and I know my emotional health is important to you. I know that my emotional health is important to God. My emotions are a blessing from you, and you care how they affect me. Emotional wellness mental wellness is one of the most swept under the rug issues in our culture today. Just 2 weeks ago, or a week ago rather, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around. We had a pastor in Southern California commit suicide because of his struggles and issues with mental health. Now, there's some great things being done in the areas of mental health, but I'm telling you today, God cares about the state of our mental health. He cares about your mental health. He cares about your social anxiety. He cares about your fear of the future and how that makes you respond and how that makes you react. He cares about the emotional wellness in your life that causes you to be fearful about things that you can't control. He cares about your thoughts of suicide and wants to give you relief and reprieve from that. He cares about the state of your mental wellness. And to acknowledge God so that he can direct our paths is to invite him into that very off-limits place at times. God, you see those moments when I'm driving down the road and I just want to run my car off a tree because I'm too overwhelmed. God, you care about my emotions. My emotions are a blessing from you, but the enemy is after me, and I need to acknowledge you in this area of my life because not only does that matter to you, you are also the God that heals and restores and is able to bring relief and reprieve. You're able to give me wisdom on with the doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and how I can navigate through this difficult season in my life. When we acknowledge God and want him to direct our paths, nothing in our life is off limits for him. He can help you when your PTSD kicks in. He can help you when your feelings of loneliness kick in. He can help you when the urges rage inside of you because we have acknowledged him in every area of our life and we have placed our trust in a God that never ever fails, is full of compassion, is overflowing with love, and he cares about his kids because our stories matter to him. Our stories matter to him. He will direct your path. You see, this all loops right back around to where we started. The redemptive nature of God. It's who He is. It's who He chooses to be. It's how He chooses to act in a redemptive manner. He will direct your paths because He is a redemptive God. Everything about God is so redemptive. When we think of the stories, when we think of the testimonies, when we think of where we should be or could have been, when we see others in tough seasons of their story, when we acknowledge the tough seasons in our own story, we must remember the redemptive nature of God. He is constantly in motion, redeeming those who belong to Him. That is a powerful, powerful statement and powerful imagery. God never presses pause on the redemption, redemptive nature of who He is. He is 100% 24/7, 365 for eternity, working actively to redeem the things and those people that are close and important to Him. We must remember the redemptive nature of God. He is constantly in motion, redeeming those who belong to Him. He is habitually removing the impurities of our heart at times, silently deposited by our sinful nature. He is constantly, as it were, a habit, constantly, habitually removing the garbage from your life, redeeming your life day in and day out. He is gently stirring the fire of adversity in your story to bring the dross to the surface so it can be removed and the beauty of the silver or the gold will come forth. The heat of the trial reveals what is in our heart, and Jesus cares about our heart. The trial reveals the things that we are not doing well on, and God gently removes those. Why? Because He cares about our heart. He cares about our story. He cares about our life and how we impact the life of those around us. The promise of the Scripture, because of all of this, is that He will direct our paths. It all comes back to the redemptive nature of God. Stand with me this morning as we close. Matt, feel free to come back at any time. Thank you. Our closing and our benediction this morning is going to come out of the book of Colossians. Paul will write in this letter to the Colossians these encouraging words about redemption. I hope they encourage you. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, and then I will pray, and we will dismiss. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Paul says, and we are encouraged by his words today, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father," listen, "who has qualified you," who has qualified you "to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Listen, "for He has rescued us." Hallelujah. "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves." And he ends it with this: "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It all comes back to the redemptive nature of God. Jesus, we love you, and we are so grateful for this time that we have spent together. We thank you for the blessing that is in it. We thank you for the power and blessing of your word. We pray that this would inspire, encourage, and fuel us to do the things that you've asked us to do and to be the people you've asked us to be. Give us your grace as we leave today. Give us courage today. Give us humbleness and power today as we commit to trust in you. In Jesus' name, can you agree with me today and say amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming to church today. I love you very much, and I'm so glad that you came. I'd like you to love on somebody on the way out. Give them a handshake, a high five. Encourage them. Love them in some way. You are dismissed this morning. God willing, we'll see you next week, if not sooner. Have a great Sunday.